All right, this is what we're going to do. A little bit of exercise, because we're going to move in tonight into physical health. All right, this is physical health and how it all... All right, so here we go. Roll the shoulders forward. Yep, you got it. All right, give us a little bit of music. Rolling backwards. Come on. Here we go. Crank that up. Crank that up. All right. And would you welcome with me this evening to talk to us about spiritual and physical health, the great, the mighty Shane Houghton.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that. Man, what an intro. How good was that? All right, you feeling warm? You feeling ready? Go reach under your seat. There's a set of dumbbells there. I need you to grab those. No, there's no dumbbells there. Get comfortable. We're jumping right into this area of physical health and out on this transformed journey. And it is that. It's a journey. And Tim said it last week. If you didn't hear his message, I'd really encourage you to get a hold of that on the podcast. If you're listening in from somewhere else in the world, you want to go back and find that. You guys, if you didn't catch it, there's so much wisdom, so much goodness in what Tim had to share, as he just said, in that all-encompassing area of our spiritual health. We're going and looking at this illustration here. We're going to use this. It signifies that journey, that fold-by-fold journey, again, that Tim shared on last week. Following the master's plan, it's bit by bit by bit. None of us are perfect in this room. I know I'm certainly not. And I'm excited to be on the journey. I want to get better. I want to improve. Physical health. Three key areas in physical health that I want to share on tonight that we find in God's Word and that I've certainly found to be true in my life over the years. To be grateful for the gift. All right. And a lot of these will come up here. Along with the scriptures. So have your Bible ready. Have your notepad ready. And take some notes because hopefully you'll leave inspired and encouraged after what I have to share tonight and some of the fun stuff we're going to do after too. Be grateful for the gift. Our bodies are a gift. There's joy in that. I reckon God's given us these bodies to get out and to enjoy His creation. I reckon He was excited when He put us together, when He made this amazing, colorful world that we can see, that we can touch, that we can smell, that we can get involved in and engaged in. There's joy in that. We need to be grateful for the gift that we've been given in our health and in our bodies. Secondly, to honor God with your body. That's the call in the Word of God, to honor God with your body as a living sacrifice. That's worship. So for joy, for worship, and to serve others. Your body's not just for you. It's not about how much you can get and add, but how much you can give. And so we want to look at those key areas tonight. Before we go into those, a little bit of my background. I work in the gym here. I love what I get to do. I grew up with... in a family of healthcare pros. My dad was a chiropractor and his dad was a chiropractor. My uncle's a chiropractor. So I grew up around skeletons and watching my dad, you know, watching people sort of come in holding their back through the front door and then walk out, you know, stoked and a bit more upright. And I thought, man, how good is that? And I loved what my dad did and that he was able to heal with his hands. And I was really inspired by that as a young age. And my granddad got into chiropractic because one day he was carrying a fridge down a set of stairs and he was the guy going backwards. You always got to be careful if you're the backwards guy on the stairs. And he actually broke his back carrying a fridge. And he suffered with that injury for the rest of his life. But that was the thing that spurred him to go into chiropractic so that he could help heal people and help people in that same situation that he was in. And you might be wondering, well, what about you, Shane? What happened to you in chiropractic? You wrecked it, man. But here's the thing, right? If you're going to get into health, if you're going to get into the field of health, you've got one or two places you can be. You got to choose which side of the fridge you want to be on. You can be on the side of the fridge after the person gets hurt, so you can help people after the fact. Or there's the other side of the fridge, and that's the side of the fridge I chose where I'd be like, man, I'm going to help people get strong, stay fit, stay healthy, so they can just lift that sucker and carry it down the stairs themselves. And so that's my passion. That's what I'm into. I love to serve people that way, and I've been able to do that here for a number of years now. And it's releasing people to pursue their passion, to live their calling, to live out their purpose, and to live out their destiny. And that's the first point I want to make tonight is this, that your physical body, that your body is the carrier of your destiny. Okay, write that down. Your body is the carrier of your destiny. Without it, you don't get very far at all. So to live out God's call in your life, you're going to do it using your body and your physical health. I'm in and out of the gym all week, and I just want to share a story with you. I walk into the gym one day this week, and there's this lady standing at the counter in there. And I sort of half recognized her as I walked in and walked around the counter, and I realized it was a lady that I had met before. She'd come to the gym a little bit years ago, actually. And back in that time, we'd also realized that she was our neighbor. So we had this cool little friendship sort of going on, and I said, hey, it's really good to see you again. How are you doing? And as I was talking to her and asking her, I just watched her posture change. And she started just to sob at the counter in the gym. She started to weep. And I said, what's wrong? What's the matter? And she said, oh, my husband passed away not long ago. It was only just a couple months ago. And she couldn't stop crying. I grabbed her some tissues and I said, come with me. That must be so hard for you. I'm so sorry to hear that news. And we walked out and I walked her out to the car park and we just chatted. And she says, yeah, my daughters just brought me in. And they knew they had to get me out of the house. And I know I've got to get going again. And, you know, I'd been here and I know that it's a good place. And I need to get a gym membership. And so they got me, you know, they got me a month. And I said, well, what about this for an idea? They said, instead of just 1 month, we can give you a whole heap of months, and you know, we don't need any money for it. You can just have that. And you can come and you can be here and you can get healthy and you can get around people and you can make new friends and you can start to move on a bit. And she just fell into my arms and she just started to cry. It was such a beautiful moment. And then I said, you know, can I pray for you? And I prayed with her in the car park and I said, don't be a stranger. And by the way, how's your mum doing? Her mum's 101 years old. How cool is that? She lives with her mum. So she's in this process of, you know, just grieving the loss of her husband who was not an old guy. And looking after a 101-year-old mum. And I said, bring your mum in and we'll have a coffee. She can come and have a workout too. She said she probably would. She's a fiery old thing, she said. But how good is that? It's not a building that does that. That's us, God's church, built up as living stones that are that extension, that body of Christ to people in need, to bring hope and to give and to bring joy and to live on purpose. And I thank the other guys this morning and I thank you for enabling me to be able to do that. I love that I get to do that. And we all give to God's church in different ways. And I'm sure you've got a story as well of where you can remember a time that you were maybe able to reach out and to serve someone with your health and with your body. It doesn't happen without legs on it, without arms on it, without being able to reach out. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says this, so let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. And I read that and I'm like, I don't want to get tired of doing good. I want to keep going. And if a healthy body means more opportunity to do more good, then I want to do lots. Who else wants to do lots of good in this life? Yeah. I don't want to do a little. Sign me up for heaps of that stuff. We've got to look after our bodies if we're going to keep going, if we're not going to tire out, burn ourselves out. And Tim talked about rest during spiritual health. That's all part of it. Looking after and caring for our bodies. And the two are intricately involved in one another. This is our spirituality has a physicality in this world. It's got to be lived out. Check out this guy. He's a great example, and he was called good. You want to be called good? Who'd be stoked if God said he was good, she was good? Yeah? I would be. Luke 10, 30 to 37. He's called the Good Samaritan. Context is this. An expert in the law comes up to Jesus. He says, Master, teacher, what have I got to do to inherit eternal life? Tell me how to get it, because I want in. And Jesus tells him this story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and he brought him to an inn and he took care of him. The next day, he took out two denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper and he said, look after him. And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense that you might have. And he says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man that fell into the hands of the robbers? And in verse 37, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, yeah, you got it. Now go get after it. You do the same. Look at the physicality of this. This guy's on his way from A to B, minding his own business on his donkey, sees this guy, goes to him, dresses his wounds, scrapes him up, puts him on a donkey and travels who knows how far and in what conditions to get to the inn. Spending who knows what kind of night and the condition that guy was in to care for him, to see him back to health, to reach into his pocket of his own money to give to the innkeeper. But he doesn't just go and hope that it all works out well. He actually comes back. He says, I'll come back to the innkeeper, and if it's cost even more, I'll get that too. And we know he was there to check up on how that guy was doing. There's this heart to serve and to love, and he's poured himself out through his body and by giving his strength to serve and to heal this guy, to restore him. Jesus is saying to this expert in the law, go and do the same. It's one thing to be a knower of good stuff. It's another thing to be a doer of good stuff. One thing to be a knower of good stuff, another thing to be an expert doer of good stuff. And so where are you today? Expert knower, expert doer, bit of both. Just an honest question. Ask yourself. Write it down. Here we go. First of those 3 points. Be grateful for your body. Be thankful for the gift that you've been given in your physical health. The Bible says it this way, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Your body is ridiculously amazing. Nurses, doctors, hands up, those in health who have ever studied the body. Isn't it amazing? The more you study, the more science allows us to look deeper and further into the human body, the more we just go, wow, man. I'm reading a book on Leonardo da Vinci at the moment, and he didn't have microscopes. He just got in there with his hands and checked it all out. And it's like, wow, this thing is all strung together and works together. What an incredible, incredible design. Psalm 139, 13 to 18. And Lauren read the Message version, which I love. But just go with me to the NIV version here. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, says the psalmist. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. How's the confidence the psalmist has here? My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me are written in your book before one of them even came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Right to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. When was the last time you looked in the mirror and just were like, man, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your work here is wonderful, God. Thank you. When was the last time you did that? Anyone do that this morning? No. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. His work is good. We spend so much time striving and to get to some body image that the world has said is good and right, and that's what attractiveness looks like. God says, man, you got value outside of just your appearance, but man, we should celebrate our uniqueness. God doesn't give bad gifts. You might be struggling in your body at the moment. You might be sick. You might have challenges that you face. It's what we take with what God's given us and choosing to be thankful to God and saying, I want to bring that. I want to use it to build something that's just bigger than me. God, I want to be part of building your kingdom. It's where the physical meets the spiritual. How many of you drove in tonight? A lot of hand raising. It's physical health week. Yeah, nearly all of us. Anyone break down on the way in? No, they're still out there if they did. Did you, Sarah? Oh, no. We'll help you with that after. I'm so sorry to hear that. I didn't see that coming. Any mechanics? Mechanics. We're going to help Sarah out later on. Oh, love you, Sarah. We use our car to get from A to B. The Samaritan used his donkey. We look after our car because we need it to get around. It has value. We'd be stuffed without ours. Our kids would love it. They wouldn't get to school. We look after it. You put oil in it, put petrol in it, wash the windscreen. Who washed their car this weekend? Here we go again. Like, man, use your other arm now. Do some reps on the other arm. You use your body to achieve what God wants to achieve through his church. He's the head of the church. We're his body. We look after our body because we want to do a lot of good with the body that God has given us. Your body is the carrier of your destiny. Second point I want to make on this, live out of God's perspective, not the world's perspective. I said it last week as I introed this theme, we've been sold a cheap version of body image. I thought about it more this week, and I had this thought, do you know that somewhere, at some point, someone made up the word ugly? True? Then someone decided to turn and to use that word on another human being. Can you believe that? Why? How? What does that even mean? Honestly, if you think about it, someone's crap perspective and bias on what beauty looks like. And we're all different. It's all good. You live out of the world's perspective? Do you live out of God's perspective on who you are and what you look like and your purpose? Do you take your value from that? Body image is this, if you're to look it up, a person's own perception on the aesthetics and attractiveness of their own body. That's what it means. A person's own perception of the aesthetics and attractiveness of their own body. And how are perceptions formed? Through experience in an environment. Everyone grew up in maybe a similar environment. We live in a great nation full of opportunity, different environments, different families, different schools, different experiences, different perceptions. So what have you formed your perception of yourself on? That's my question to you tonight. Maybe you've been called ugly. Maybe someone used that word on you. Maybe you've been spoken down to. Told you won't amount to much, that you need to strive a bit more to have value when you look a little bit more like this. God says you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. You have value because I made you, because I love you, because you have purpose. That's the voice you're to listen to. And lastly, stop comparing. Don't live like you got ripped off in a big game of pass the parcel. You're stuck there looking left and right, thinking, man, if I only got this, or if I was just a bit taller, or if hair was just this. Stop. God gives good gifts. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Comparing leads to coveting. Coveting leads to ungratefulness, and that leads to contempt for the giver. Be grateful for what you got and go after it. How will you build physical health rituals? Here's a question on this one. Or habits into your life out of gratitude for your body and for your health. There's a challenge. Second point, honor God. Honor God with your body as an act of worship. So first one is gratitude and joy. Honor God, which is your act of worship. And we go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. If you got your Bibles there, and Paul writes this. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Saying, I can do whatever I want. Run, jump, skip, dance, hit, fight, eat. I can do it all. We can, most of all in this nation, do whatever we want. Not all of it's beneficial. And then he says, but I'm choosing not to be mastered by anything. I won't be mastered by the wants and desires of my physical body. I'll look to God as my master. I'll make him master of my life. Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? And then verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Paul's saying, well, how do you do that? It's what you run from and what you're running to. He says, flee from immorality, run from temptation. It's the only place in the Bible where it tells us to actually run. Get your running shoes on. Flee from that stuff. But living for Jesus is not just about what we run away from. And in fact, if that's your view on what it means to follow Jesus, man, it's so much more than just sticking clear of the bad stuff. And that stuff is just because it does damage to us. It usually does damage to others, and it certainly does damage to our relationship with him. He's saying, forget it. Run from that. And we can run towards and use our physical health and to come to the service of others, to assist, to help, to do good, to find opportunity to love and serve others. And the question here is, are you a good steward of your body? Could you say that in all honesty tonight, this precious gift? Are you a good steward of your body? Is the way you use your body honoring to God? Is there something you need to run from? And what are you running to? They're the questions there. And then lastly, serving others. Whatever God will achieve, he'll do it through his church in this earth. Is that true? Yeah, through people like you and me. Not perfect, broken. We get sick, we get worn down, we know all that stuff. It's not that you're just perfectly healthy all the time. Your body's a carrier of your destiny. We are destined to serve others and to love others, to worship God. Paul says it this way when he writes to a young guy in the Bible, his name's Timothy, kingdom building's better than bodybuilding. He says, kingdom building is better than... I made that up a little bit, but it's basically what he says. We'll read the actual Bible. But that's what he says to this young man. I have a lot of young guys coming here, and what do young guys want to do when they come to the gym? Get swole. They want to get huge. I say, why? Why do you want to get big? What are you going to do with all that muscle? Tell me about it. That sounds exciting. There's a lot of big guys out there carrying a lot of weight, nowhere to be and nothing to do except look in the mirror. I've been in the industry a long time. Truth. What do you do with your strength? Why are you getting strong? To love and to serve others. We don't do this alone. He says to Timothy, this young man, exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both for today and forever. You can count on this. You can take it to heart. That's why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally, so completely. We're banking on the living God. Bank on your body. What happens when it breaks down? Dang. Bank on God. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. James says, faith without deeds is dead. If you know it all but don't do it, don't worry. Don't bother. Believing without doing is no good to anyone. You have to love and to serve others. So question, how can you practically love and serve someone this week? How can you? Does someone pop into your mind right now? Write their name down. You know what you need to do. Get out there and get after it. That's what Jesus said. Go and do the same. Look at that story again of the Samaritan. Let's go and find a neighbor and let's love them. Let's serve them. Let's change their life. Here's a funny story. I used to cut our next door neighbor's lawn until I got told off for cutting it too low and then I lost my job. Okay, so you got to make sure you do it right though. So this lady's son came over and said, excuse me, it's a really awkward conversation. I said, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm Marge's son. Oh, great to meet you. How's she doing? Yeah, you've been cutting her lawn a little bit low. And I'd like to ask you to stop, please. I said, oh, I can cut it higher. No, I lost my job at that point. So do a good job of it if you're going to mow someone's lawn. But, man, let's get out and love and serve others. John, are you warm, brother? Come on up. John, right here, bro. Come on up, man. All right, now, this right here. I love you, darling, but this is not dumbbells. It's an Olympic bar. This is a bench press. Scott was struggling with the terminology. All right, a few of you go to the gym, some of you, it's useful. A disciplined life in God is more so, but the gym's useful, it's good. This guy's in the gym quite a bit. Give him a round of applause. This is John. All right, now I invited John. He didn't force his way in here tonight, but I thought how fun would it be to just have John come and lift some heavy stuff tonight. He's just broken the national record for bench press. This is not a record-beating bench press. The one he broke the record with was bigger than this. Okay, but he's got a sore shoulder. For real. He actually bench presses stuff like this. I would lift this tonight, but I get shy lifting heavy things in front of big crowds. And so I needed John to come and just back me up on this. Now we're going to get him set up. I'm going to hand this to Tim. And we need to cheer him on. It's like, this is big stuff. This is two of me on this bar to give you an idea. And there's 100 kilos on that bar. So let's do this.
As he's getting into this space a little bit, he's going to transition back and forth. I'm going to tell you a little bit of John's story. I got his permission to, because we said that circle, everyone affects everything else. And this is the beautiful thing, is that John was dealing with depression, a lot of deep personal emotional stuff. And he began to set some goals that said, man, I'm going to break through those strongholds in my life. And I'm going to start moving weights. And I'm going to start making some physical change. And this has been a long journey for John. And this is not a show off of how much a man can move. This is about how much God has transformed a life by doing something physical to break through strongholds of emotional darkness and depression and mental, you know, mental struggles. And so it was a choice, but we're going to get behind you in this, Johnny. You got to get down here. You can't do it standing up. You're not curling that. You're going to... So get down there. That's a hard thing. He can't hear very well either. He's got hearing aids in. So, you ready? All right, here we go. We're going to count them off with him. It's pretty good if you can do one of these. All right. Here we are. Each one, we're going to count it out loud. And one, two, three. Four, five, oh, six, seven, eight, nine. You're going. One more, one more, one more. 10. That is 100 kgs there. Now, this is one that he actually just won the he just won the bench press in that, actually benching, I think, 10 kgs more than he's on this bar. But yeah, 165. This is actually 160 that's just going to be a dead here. So you ready, Johnny? Come on. There's probably some boys here that would give it a shot. All right, we're going to wrap this up. Get a little bit of chalk on those hands. But this is the beautiful thing. Again, it's not just about muscle. I love one thing Shane said this morning. He goes, strong muscle without strong character has nothing to do with a strong person. You got a strong body, strong character, have to go hand in hand. Doesn't matter, man, woman, the whole thing is body and character hand in hand. So, we ready? It's a lot of weight. I tried to just move one end of this and it wasn't very impressive. All right, Johnny, here we go. All right, big lift, big lift. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. Listen, truly, physical exercise is good for the body. But how much more to walk in the Spirit of God, transformed by Him. So whatever you choose to do with your body, choose to do good with it. Choose to do good, to honor God, to serve others, and wake up tomorrow morning and be grateful. Look in the mirror. Recognize that God has done a fearful and wonderful job. He knows you full well, and He is there to walk with you in it. Let's honor Him. Be in your home groups this week. Let's talk out some of the areas. Shane, beautiful job tonight. Thank you. John, great job tonight.